Hope this morning's lesson was encouraging as far as our personal work and evangelism is concerned. And when we start thinking about all those people we know being somewhere eternally, it kind of puts a little stamp of urgency on our teaching the gospel to other people. I mentioned this morning that tonight's lesson was going to focus on praising Jehovah. You know, this should be something that is just so natural, you know, to praise Jehovah. But a lot of times in the Old Testament, when a word is translated praise or even worship, it may come from a very different Hebrew word. So tonight I've tried to classify the Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated praise or worship into three categories that are quite different, but yet are often translated with the word praise or maybe even worship. And they come, and like I said, in three main categories that are in some ways quite different. I'd like to start, kind of as an introduction tonight, looking at Psalm 34, one of my favorite psalms. Most of our references tonight will come from psalms, all but a very few. But I'd like to begin by looking at Psalm 34 to introduce us to the idea of praise and blessing and worshiping. And the first three verses. It's an absolutely marvelous psalm. This is considered to be one of David's psalms. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. In those three verses, the psalmist brings out a number of characteristics of these word praise, or these words praise and worship. He mentions bless, praise, boast, be glad, magnify, and exalt. When I started looking at all the Hebrew words that are translated praise and worship, I almost gave up. Because it filled pages and pages and pages. It's obviously one of the most important words in the Old Testament. But yet it can tell us so much about why, like the psalmist says, we should be happy. And we should rejoice and we should be glad. So I've tried to narrow it down into three main areas. The first area that is often translated praise or worship comes from a number of different Hebrew words, but they all have the idea of bowing down. Of bowing down. So sometimes when we see the word praise in the Old Testament, the word from which it comes means to bow down before, to prostrate oneself, to lay flat before someone, to be humble. And that is seen in that verse we just read, Psalm 34:1. When it says, I will bless the Lord, that comes from a Hebrew word that means to bow down, to prostrate before someone, to be humble. So the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord, I will bow down before the Lord. I will prostrate myself before Him. It's the idea of giving reverence. So there the word bless has the idea of showing adoration. So here is someone that realizes the person to whom they're bowing down is of much greater stance. So they are offering adoration to them. So when David says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, that means I'm going to show God adoration at all times. I'm going to be humble at all times. I'm going to be submissive at all times. I'm going to show Him reverence at all times. And when I think about that, I think about how loosely sometimes us and certainly the world uses God's name. It's used very loosely. But the psalmist says here, I'm going to show God reverence at all times. And that would certainly refer to His name. And just think about how often that the name of God in some form or another is used. Of course, I think obviously about when people text and so forth, they use OMG. I finally figured out that wasn't a word. It's not OMG. It actually stands for things. But this was brought to my attention a few weeks ago, and I hadn't really thought about it. But when you look at what David is saying here, when we think about God, we're supposed to always think about Him in a reverential state, or in a way that shows reverence, because we're adoring Him. That's what David says here. We're adoring God. In the very same, we might say, way, in Psalms 100, the psalmist uses a similar Hebrew word, but it has a slightly different meaning that brings out something else about our praise and worship. In Psalm 100, beginning in verse 3, Psalm 100, beginning in verse 3, says, "Know that the Lord, He's God. It's He who's made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." That whole psalm is about praise. That whole psalm is about God. But the Hebrew word from which some of those words come from there about praise has to do with, again, bowing down, but you're bowing down because of who God is. You're bowing down because of the fact that God is infinite. He's at all places. He's at all times. He hears all and sees all. And He's infinitely good. In other words, He is filled with abundant mercy. So when we think about the word praise or the word bless in those verses, there's a much deeper meaning than simply being thankful for something, rejoicing. There's far more to it than that. It's far deeper than that. So when we talk about praising Jehovah, it's not just being thankful for or rejoicing about something. It's being aware of who He is, being aware of His presence, and of how good and merciful He is. The same idea of bowing down, just a couple of pages back in your Bible to Psalm 95. There the psalmist, beginning in verse 3, says this, "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as that is in the day of trial in the wilderness." That is all about worshiping God. It's about bowing down in homage to the great God. So when we praise God, one of the things that needs to be in our mind is the fact that we are showing reverence to God. Which makes me think about how irreverent some of the so-called praise songs in the world are. They're actually irreverent in many ways because they're not showing this homage to God for who He is and for what He's done. So when we praise God, when we bless God, we are too bow down, because He is the superior one. And in Psalm 29, one more on this topic before we go to the next group. Psalm 29, the first two verses, another Psalm of David. This is just marvelous. About the only way you can describe these first two verses, they're just marvelous. Psalm 29, the first two verses says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." There, that last word, worship, is the one that comes from bowing down, from prostrating yourself, from lying down flat in His presence because of who He is. Now that is involved in praising God. Sometimes we get carried away with the emotional side of praising, and there is an emotional side. But we can't forget about the bowing down, the prostrating, the showing adoration, the being humble. We can't forget about that side of praising because that is just as important as any of the other. So we're showing how we understand the power of God. All of those come from these Hebrew words that have the idea of bowing down and being prostrate and showing humility. Probably the word we think of most of the time when we think about praising Jehovah is rejoicing. And again, there's so many Hebrew words that have the idea of rejoicing involved in it, being glad, being happy, so many of them. And I just want to point out a few of them here and some aspects of rejoicing that we may have not thought about before. First of all, in Psalm 98, there the psalmist points us to something we should be doing. Psalm 98, the first four verses. Psalm 98, the first four verses says, and you'll recognize these verses. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He's done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. The Lord has made known His salvation. His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations. He's remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. What are they supposed to be singing about and shouting joyfully about? The fact that God has brought salvation down. That's why they're shouting. See, this should be a natural outcome of our salvation. Rejoicing over it. Rejoicing over it. How often have we been around people for weeks, months, or years, and they suddenly find out that we're a Christian or that we attend church, and they're just absolutely flabbergasted that we are. Obviously, we haven't been rejoicing about our salvation, or they would know. So that's something we need to celebrate, is the fact that we're saved. Because as we mentioned a few weeks ago, we are a very prized possession of God. God prizes His people. And for that, we should rejoice and celebrate. In Psalm 40, there the psalmist, in the similar vein, beginning in verse 1, this is also considered to be a psalm of David. Psalm 40, beginning in verse 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. That's a marvelous way to start a psalm. What's David thankful for? What God has done for him in the past. What God has done for him in the past. Have we ever prayed to God for something and it happened and then we forgot to rejoice about it? So what David is doing, he's thinking about what has happened in the past, all the wonderful things God has done, the trials He's brought him through. He says He's raised him from the pit. David was in the pit many times. He was depressed. You know, we've been talking about him in 1 Samuel and then into 2 Samuel about various times in his life, how depressed he was. And how down he was, and despondent that he was. And he says here, he remembers when God brought him out of that pit and put him on firm ground. So David here is rejoicing, apparently spontaneously, because of what God has done for him in the past. How He's shown him mercy, how He's delivered him, how He's been there for him. And he's thankful for it. And then another aspect of this is seen in Psalm 63, another Psalm of David. Psalm 63. This has got some tremendous lessons for us. David says, O God, you're my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Something I remember the first time I ever heard this expression, and I know this is crazy, was at a preacher's meeting one time, and Don Deffenbaugh was talking about it. And his subject that morning at the preacher's meeting was, my Savior. And you think, well, is that original? And the lesson was very original. Because in the whole lesson, he kept talking about Jesus being his Savior, my Deliverer, my Messiah. Well, that's what David is saying here. Oh God, you are my God. See how personalized he's made God? He's not just the God that's out there. He's our God. He's my God. And Jesus is not just the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. And so David says, I go to you early in the morning. That's how I start my day. I rejoice that you're my God. And so likewise, starting our day rejoicing that Jesus is my Savior is the best way to start the day. That's the lesson we get from David there. And he says, I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. He remembers the loving kindness. And he says, my lips are going to praise you and I'm going to bless you my whole life. And I'm going to be satisfied with you and not things of the world. That's rejoicing. He's adoring God. He's exalting God because of who God is and what he's done. So there's the aspect of rejoicing that's so important. In Psalm 98, notice verse 4. Psalm 98, we read verse 4 once. Now look at verse 4 again with this in mind. Psalm 98, verse 4. Says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Now again, that's adoring God. That's praising Him in song. And I know often we think about singing being the only way we praise God, but that's certainly only one aspect of praising God. We should praise Him in a number of ways. So many words talk about the reverential aspect of praising and worshiping and blessing. Then there's a number of words that talk about the rejoicing aspect, the being joyful and being glad. The last one will surprise you. It certainly surprised me when I started studying for this lesson. There's only two Hebrew words that are translated confession in the Old Testament. The surprising thing is, many times that word that means confession is translated praise and bless. I was very surprised to find that in the Old Testament. But when I found that, then certain other passages made more sense. I just want to look at a few of those. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. There's two verses that I want to look at in that particular psalm. First of all, verse 14 and then verse 23. Psalm 50, verses 14, and then verse 23. Verse 14 says this, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And it's that last part, and pay your vows. Now think about what that has to do with confession. And then skip down to verse 23. Whoever offers praise, there's the Hebrew word that's often translated confession. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Now think about those verses, and instead of praising and rejoicing like we think about the concept of making confession. Making confession. Now I want to go to two places where it's translated confession. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him." That's exactly the same Hebrew word. "And tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me." Those verses back in Psalm 50, that's exactly the same word as right here. Make confession. Make confession. So praising God includes, at times when it's needed, making confession to God about what you have done. And then in Ezra chapter 10, a similar situation. Ezra chapter 10, verse 11. Ezra chapter 10, verse 11. Says, "Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives." Remember, they had married pagan wives when they weren't allowed to, and so they had to give them up. There he says, make confession. And sometimes that's translated praise. But the idea is making confession. Make confession. So when we look at these various Hebrew words that are translated praise and worship and bless, there's the idea, first of all, of bowing down and showing reverence. That's part of praising God. Then there's the aspect of rejoicing and exalting His name because of who He is and what He's done. And then there's an aspect of making confession to who He is, because He's the great God. And so when we put all those together, then we see what it really means to praise Jehovah. And to single one out without looking at the others is really not getting the whole picture. So we as Christians today, we need to be reverential. We need to bow down, to prostrate ourselves before God, before His name. And that means we take His name seriously. Therefore, we take His authority and His word seriously. Then we rejoice, we celebrate because of what Christ has done. He's offered salvation. He's given us salvation. And then make confession when we need to make confession, whether it's privately to God or to a few others, or publicly to the entire church, depending on what we need to confess. But it's all part of this. I'd like to finish with 1 Chronicles chapter 16. First Chronicles chapter 16, we'll look at verse 4 and then we'll move on to verse 7. First Chronicles 16, verse 4. This is also about David and about the ark and what it represented. In verse 4 of 1 Chronicles 16, it's written, "And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel." And skip down to verse 7. "On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. There David kind of sums up what praise and worship is to be about. Yes, it's about bowing down. Yes, it's about rejoicing. And yes, it's about making confession. God invites us. He always wants us to do what's right. Because God, more than anyone, knows that all of us will spend somewhere forever. We will have an eternal home, whether it's with God in heaven or with Satan in hell. It's the only two choices. All of our neighbors will have those same two choices. And it's all about decisions. Decisions we make today or decisions we make tomorrow. And maybe you need to make a decision tonight about becoming a New Testament Christian or making confession. You know, we've heard confession is good for the soul, and it certainly is. And tonight, if you need to do that, we urge you to make that right decision and come while we stand and sing this song.